Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. On behalf of Pastors David and Nicole Binion, thank you for joining us today at the Dwell Church Podcast. For more information about Dwell Church, visit us at dwell.church. Now, let's listen to today's message.
I asked for a stool because I got just a little pain in my lower back right here. So while I'm at it, I know John already released healing in the room, but I just want to give you permission. This has happened to me before where I would get a pain and somebody in the room with the pain in that particular area gets healed. So I just want to release you. I want to give you permission to be healed right now. You have permission to be healed right now. I ask you, Jesus, I ask so that you will get what you paid for. You already paid for our healing. So that you can get what you paid for, I ask for healing to be released in the room right now. Right now. We don't have to wait till the end of the service. Right now, healing is in the room. It's who we are. It's what we do. We walk in the supernatural. So I'm still going to sit down. It actually just felt better. I promise to you, it just was like, it eased. You make the declaration. Nothing happens in the kingdom until you declare something. And once you release your word, angels are poised waiting for you to speak it, waiting for you to say it. Some of our angels are bored because we don't say nothing except for I'm worried about all that's going on in the world. And we have to be the antithesis of all that we see and speak life and speak health. And sometimes I just like to say that. You have permission right now to be healed. I've had this kind of stirring in me for 10 days. I mentioned this, I kind of touched on this on Father's Day. I said to you, I made this statement. I said, spirits don't die. You remember me saying that? Spirits don't die. They just look for a new host. First thing you thought about was the demonic realm when I said that, right? But that's not what I'm talking about. I want to talk to you about Elijah and Elisha. I'm going to read some scripture. Spirits don't die. They just look for a new host. For instance, Elijah was taken up in a whirlwind and Elisha picked up the mantle. The story is found in 2 Kings, the second chapter. I'm going to start with verse 1, but pay attention when we get to about 9, where Elisha asks for a double portion of the spirit that was on Elijah. That was his request. I want to read this account. I love this story. This is the era when Solomon had been king. So David reigned, and then his son Solomon, and then Solomon's son. And so we started this process in Scripture where the people of God would follow, and then a new king would come into place, and they would fall away. And another king would come. They would, it was just kind of like this, if you could see it on a graph, they would turn to the Lord and they would fall away and they would build altars, idols. And so during this time, a King Ahab, who was married to, somebody knows, was that you said, you knew, didn't you? Ahab, who was married to Jezebel. So during, this was at a season in the life of the people of God where they strayed from God. And God raised up a prophet. And it would eventually led to the captivity of Israel. They were taken into Babylon. And so I'm going to read this account. That's what's happening. This is the era of time when this is written. When the Lord was about to take Elijah up to heaven in a whirlwind, Elijah and Elisha were on their way from Gilgal. Elijah said to Elisha, "Stay here. The Lord has sent me to Bethel." He wasn't talking about Redding, California. But Elisha said, "As surely," Elijah said, "Stay here and I will go to Bethel." Elisha's response is, I was looking at you and I lost my place. "As surely as the Lord lives and as you live, I will not leave you," said every good church member to the senior pastor. You'll get a chance to be a part of this because this happens about three times in this story. "As surely as the Lord lives and as you live, I will not leave you." So they went down to Bethel. They went down to Redding. The company of the prophets at Bethel came out to Elisha and asked, "Do you know that the Lord is going to take your master from you today?" How did they know this? These are a people that have strayed from God. How do they know this? Elisha replied, "Yes, I know. So be quiet." Then Elijah said to him, "Stay here, Elisha. The Lord has sent me to Jericho." And he replied, "As surely as the Lord lives and as you live, I will not leave you." That was your cue to say that to your pastor.
"I will not leave you."
I'm not worried about you leaving. I'm just trying to bring a little humor in here. "Stay here, Elisha. As surely as the Lord lives and as you live, I will not leave you." So they went to Jericho. The company of the prophets at Jericho went up to Elisha and asked him, "Do you know," the word has gotten around, "do you know that the Lord is going to take your master from you today?" "Yes, I know," he replied, "so be quiet." I love how this is written. Then Elijah said to him, "Stay here. The Lord has sent me to the Jordan." And he replied, "As surely as the Lord lives and as you live,
I will not leave you."
So the two of them walked on. 50 men from the company of the prophets went and stood at a distance, facing the place where Elijah and Elisha had stopped at the Jordan. Elijah took his cloak. You could just hear the orchestra playing in the background. Rolled it up and struck the water with it. The water divided and the strings played really high to the right and to the left. And the two of them crossed over. Bass, drum pounding, and the low cellos. They crossed over on dry ground. When they had crossed, Elijah said to Elisha, "Tell me, what can I do for you before I am taken from you? Let me inherit a double portion of your spirit." I'm just going to say again, spirits don't die. They just look for a new host. Elisha replied, "You have asked a difficult thing." Elijah said, "Yet if you see me when I am taken from you, it will be yours. Otherwise, it will not." As they were walking along and talking together, suddenly, everybody say suddenly. I love the suddenlies of God. Suddenly, a chariot of fire and horses of fire appeared and separated the two of them. And Elijah went up to heaven in a whirlwind. Now, this is interesting because I remember seeing pictures on the flannel graph at Sunday school when I was a kid. They don't do that anymore. But when I was a kid, they had these little flannel boards and they with sticky stuff on pictures. And I saw Elijah in the chariot being taken up into heaven. I've seen paintings or pictures of Elijah in the chariot. But that's not what the word says here. It says, a chariot separated the two of them, and Elijah went up to heaven in a whirlwind. Elisha saw this and cried out, my father, my father. Catch that. Elijah was a fathering spirit. Elijah walked in a fathering spirit. Father, my father, the chariots and horsemen of Israel. And Elisha saw him no more. Then he took hold of his garment and tore it in two. He took hold of his own garment and tore it in two. Elisha then picked up Elijah's cloak that had fallen from him and went back and stood on the bank of the Jordan. He took the cloak and the strings play again. He took the cloak that had fallen from Elijah and struck the water with it. Where now is the Lord, the God of Elijah? He asked. When he struck the water, it divided to the right and to the left, and he crossed over. The company of the prophets from Jericho who were watching said, the spirit of Elijah is resting on Elisha. And they went to meet him and bowed to the ground before him. Look, they said, we, your servants, have 50 able men. Let them go and look for your master. Perhaps the spirit of the Lord has picked him up and set him down on some mountain or some valley. No, Elisha replied, do not send them. But they persisted until he was too embarrassed to refuse. So he said, send them. And they sent 50 men who searched for 3 days but did not find him. Spirits never die. They look for a new host. Some years later, there's this story about Elisha. King Joash comes to inquire of the Lord. You know it. I've shared it with you before. He tells him to take an arrow and shoot it to the east. It would represent a victory. Then he tells him to take another arrow and strike the ground. And he struck it 3 times. And Elijah became angry. He said, you would have completely annihilated your enemies if you'd struck the ground many times. I posted yesterday, pray. And then pray some more. Keep pounding. Keep pounding many times. If you want to see victory, pound and pound and pound. Knock and keep on knocking. Seek and keep on seeking. Some years later, after this happened with the arrows, Elijah died. 2 Kings, the 13th chapter, starting with verse 20, it says, Elisha died and was buried. Now, Moabite raiders used to enter the country every spring. So this was some years later. Once while some Israelites were burying a man, suddenly, there's that word again, I like suddenly. Suddenly they saw a band of raiders. So they threw the man's body into Elisha's tomb. When the body touched Elisha's bones, the man came to life and stood up on his feet. The spirit of Elijah. We used to sing the song, baby, even before we got married. You remember? We're going forth in the spirit of Elijah, praying a prayer that brings about change. We are believing that in the name of Jesus, mountains shall be moved and the dead will be raised. Mountains move. Dead are raised. All is done. In Jesus' name, I declare to you, we're going forth. Yeah. Yeah. In the first chapter of Luke, we're still talking about the spirit of Elijah. In the first chapter of Luke, it says that John the Baptist was filled with the Spirit as an unborn baby. He was still in the womb. Luke 1:17, and he will go on before the Lord. This is talking about the birth of John the Baptist. And he will go on before the Lord in the spirit and power of Elijah. To turn the hearts of the parents to their children and the disobedient to the wisdom of the righteous, to make ready a people prepared for the Lord. Okay, so I'm going to draw another parallel. I talked about Elijah and Elisha and now John the Baptist. I want to talk about Jesus. I'm just going to read this passage of scripture. Mark 5, starting with the verse 35. While Jesus was still speaking, some people came. You know, my back feels pretty good right now. While Jesus was still speaking, some people came from the house of Jairus, the synagogue leader. Your daughter is dead, they said. Why bother the teacher anymore? Overhearing what they said, Jesus told him, don't be afraid, just believe. He did not let anyone follow him except Peter, James, and John. Understand, Peter, James, because I'm going to draw the parallel with Peter and the brother of James. When they came to the home of the synagogue leader, Jesus saw a commotion with people crying and wailing loudly. He went in and said to them, why all this commotion and wailing? The child is not dead but asleep. But they laughed at him. After he put them all out, he took the child's father and mother and the disciples who were with him and went in where the child was. He took her by the hand and said to her, Talitha kaum. I'm just going to act like that's the right way to say it. Which means, little girl, I say to you, get up. Immediately, the girl stood up and began to walk around. She was 12 years old. At this, they were completely astonished. He gave strict orders not to let anyone know about this and told them to give her something to eat. Now I want you to see Peter. This is after Jesus has been crucified, resurrected, and now the disciples are on the move. The Book of Acts church has been born and everyone functions. Signs and wonders follow the disciples. Peter is in the ninth chapter of the book of Acts. The church is spreading like fire. Yeah. Acts, the ninth chapter, verse 36. In Joppa, there was a disciple named Tabitha. In Greek, her name is Dorcas. They should have left that little phrase out. Tabitha is so much prettier. Dorcas. Imagine going to school with that name. are there Dorcases? I don't know. She was always doing good and helping the poor. About that time, she became sick and died, and her body was washed and placed in an upstairs room. There's the parallel. It's the same kind of picture. Lydda, is that how you say her name? L-Y-D-D-A, was near Joppa. So when the disciples heard that Peter was in Lydda, they sent two men to him and urged him, please come at once. Peter went with them, and when he arrived, he was taken upstairs to the room. All the windows stood around him. I'm sorry, all the widows. All the windows were closed. All the doors and the widows stood around him, crying and showing him the robes and other clothing that Dorcas, Tabitha, had made while she was still with them. Peter sent them all out of the room. Then he got down on his knees and prayed. Turning toward the dead woman, he said, Tabitha, get up. She opened her eyes, and seeing Peter, she sat up. He took her by the hand and helped her to her feet. Then he called for the believers, especially the widows, and presented her to them alive. John 17:22, Jesus said this, I have given them the glory that you gave me, that they may be one as we are one. Essentially, Peter is now a host of the Spirit of God. He is now a host of the Spirit of Jesus. I'll just leave that there and keep moving. Matthew 4:17. I'm going to back up a little bit. From that time, Jesus began to preach and say, "Repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand." If I have a life message, this scripture is one of the main scriptures that I go to again and again and again. Repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. Repent, you've heard me say before, means to change your mind, means to change the way you think. It means that if you're walking this direction, repent means you turn and walk this direction. Repent is just not asking for forgiveness. Repent means to change the way you think. It comes from, if you break the word down, re means go back. Pent is where we get the name penthouse. It's the top floor of a building where hotels have penthouse suites. It's go back to the top. Change the way you think, or you'll never see the kingdom. Change the way you think, or you'll never see the kingdom. Jesus said, John 4:35, "Do you not say there are still 4 months and then comes the harvest? Behold, I say to you, lift up your eyes and look at the fields, for they are already white for harvest." He said, lift up your perspective. Repent. Don't see it from here. See it from here. Lift up your... Don't see the harvest from down here. Don't think in the natural realm the harvest is going to be here in 4 months because we're in the middle of June and then the fall comes and that's when we reap the harvest. Right? Right? Jesus said, don't see it from this perspective, but elevate your eyes. Lift up your eyes. In Ephesians 2 and 6, Paul said, "And we were raised up together, and he made us sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus." When Paul wrote about being seated in heavenly places, he wasn't talking about what happens when you die. He was giving us a principle, an invitation to live at this elevated perspective. Be seated in heavenly places, just like heaven. Just like heaven on earth, to be walking in his favor and grace is just like heaven. Just like heaven on... This is the invitation. This is the call. Come up. Revelations 4, verse 1. "After these things, I looked, and behold, a door standing open in heaven. And the first voice which I heard was like a trumpet speaking with me, saying, come up here, and I will show you. Come up here and I will show you things which must take place after this." This is this consistent call to be... David even wrote about it. He said, "Who will ascend the hill of the Lord? He who has clean hands and a pure heart." But then he sent Jesus. He sent Jesus and washed away our sin and gave every one of us access to rise. Come up and see. Come up and see. That's the word of the Lord to Dwell Church. Come up in the midst of this pandemic. Come up. Come up and see what it really looks like in the midst of this racial unrest. Come up here. Come up high. Come up and see. Spirits never die. They just look for a new host. There was the passage of scripture. Jesus was talking about when you cast out a devil, that they immediately go looking for a new place. So this is, he's teaching us a principle in the spirit realm, what things are like in the spirit realm. What things are like in the spirit realm is they're everlasting. They're more real than the chair you're sitting on. This is temporal. What happens in the spirit realm is eternal. And so he even gives us this picture where even when you cast out a demonic spirit, it goes and looks for another host. And if it can't find one, it comes back. And why it is so important that I don't think we've ever cast any devils specifically. I just don't want to permit anybody acting up in here. We'll carry you out and we can cast the devil out of you. I've cast out a few in my day. Truth is, every time we lift up the name of the Lord, every time we let God arise in our worship, the enemy scatters. You don't even have to yell at the devil. You just lift up Jesus and the devil, you turn on the light and the darkness goes. When we come and start worshiping, we're just flipping the light switch and allowing the presence of God to fill a room. The same principle can be seen in the kingdom of darkness. The spirit of Pharaoh is a good example. There is a spirit of Pharaoh that was an oppressive spirit. It was a spirit that would oppress a group of people. It would enslave a nation for 400 years. And it would take a deliverer to come in to intercede on behalf of God's people and declare, "Let my people go." You can follow this same oppressive spirit throughout history and see it at work. It's at work today. This is the same spirit that would oppress a group of slaves from Africa who were sold. It's a demonic realm. We can point blame and we can accuse, but I'll say like Jesus. Jesus, when they brought the adulterous woman and said, "It's the law, we should stone her." The only one worthy to throw a stone didn't. I'm just going to leave that right there and let the implications find their way into every circumstance. The only one qualified to throw a stone at this sinful woman didn't. Let's keep moving. We saw this oppression. With the Germans and the Jews. Under the leadership of Adolf Hitler. But it was a demonic, oppressive spirit. To oppress a group of people. Again, it's the Jewish people. Interestingly enough. It's the same spirit raising its head again and again. It's a demonically inspired matter of the heart. When a spirit will lie and inspire hatred. It's important in this day to understand we can vote people in and out of office and can change legislation and improve our lives. But no one, no political party can legislate hate out of someone's heart. Only Jesus, only the Spirit of the living God can bring that kind of transformation. The spirit of Herod is another example. I want you to see the spirit of Herod at work. It was a spirit that went after leaders, individuals. It would attack babies where babies under a certain age would be destroyed, annihilated because they were after a promised deliverer. It happened with Moses. God had promised a deliverer. God was going to send someone to deliver his people, and the enemy would send this assassination spirit. and it would kill an entire group of babies, an entire nation of babies, a generation of young baby boys trying to target an individual. From Moses to Jesus, it happened with Jesus. He had to escape with his with Mary and Joseph to get away from the spirit of Herod. Right down to this present time where 60 million babies have been aborted. It's a demonic strategy because the dark realm knows that a deliverer will rise up in this last hour with the spirit of Elijah, who will dare to prophesy to the Jezebel spirit running rampant in this age. There are false prophets declaring lies, but the spirit of Herod is a spirit that, with that same assignment for thousands of years, generation after generation, seeking to kill newborns. And even while they're still in the womb, John the Baptist was proof that you could be filled with the spirit in the womb. The spirit of Herod doesn't just stop with the murder of children. It seeks to behead the leaders that did rise, John the Baptist. I've watched well-meaning men of God during this racial tension. White men want to say the right thing. They're ridiculed for saying nothing. And then when they do say something, they're beheaded. Their credibility is beheaded, destroyed, attacked, not by people, but by a demonic spirit. Spirits never die. They just look for a new host. Be careful what you allow. Be careful what you host and allow to come out of your mouth. Be careful. I'm almost done. We might be out of here before noon. I really am getting close. I got lost, so I have to find myself again. About 10 days ago, when this started burning in my heart, I was having a conversation with Nicole for weeks. I felt like God was calling me to step into a place of risk, a place of controversy, a place to declare the word of the Lord with no intimidation, with no fear that I will lose followers on social media, because the word of the Lord that begins to grow and burn and swirl in my heart. And I just kind of walked in this and prayed about it, and I hadn't said anything till about 10 days ago, and I shared with Nicole, babe, I feel like God has been prepared. I don't even know what it is yet, but I just feel the preparation that God is, you know. I had a dream. Oh, it gets dangerous when I dream. I had a dream that Nicole and I were hosting TBN, and this is an incredible platform that God has given us, that we have credibility on a platform that reaches around the globe. So in the dream, I saw myself on the set, hosting. I wasn't at the keyboard. I was sitting at a chair, and there was a table beside me. And I don't remember the full extent of what was being said, except I just remember I began to pound on that table and say, I must have his presence. I must have his presence. And in the dream, the glory of the Lord invaded that studio. And it was this cry for the promised outpouring. And I just began to pound my fist on this table saying, I must have him. I'm not on TBN. We're just on Facebook right now. But I just want to say it to you. The promise is, it's within reach. It's being held back for whatever reason. But I am persistent. I refuse to give up. I declare to you, to everyone under the sound of my voice right now, that listen live or will listen to it in the days to come, I must have him. There is too much at stake in the earth today. I can't do this without him. I prophesy to you that the spirit of Elijah is riding on the winds, coming swiftly towards us. When I shared, Nicole, I've been meditating on this, praying this. As I said it to her, I was in our room at home, in our bedroom, and I was telling her this. And as I said it, I felt a tornado begin to swirl in my chest. This, I don't even know how to explain it, except it was just this sense of this swirling wind inside my heart, inside my chest, and I became overwhelmed. God, what are you doing? What are you saying? And I began to think of the spirit of Elijah taking up in the whirlwind. God, I surrender. I give myself. I do the trust fall backwards, unable to see where I'm going to land, but I give myself to this. I determine in my heart to be part of this move that has been promised since the second chapter of Joel. This is that. Peter said in the second chapter of Acts that Joel prophesied, this is the great outpouring that the prophet told about. I will pour out my spirit on all flesh, the young and the old, the men and the women, the black and the white, the Jew and the Greek. The Spirit of God is coming. Even now it's pouring. Revival is now. The kingdom is now. Revival is here. So, the chariot of fire. There is a chariot of fire called racism right now, sweeping, dividing the church from the purpose of God. The chariot has swept in and divided the church from each other. Will you be distracted? See, Elijah said, if you'll keep your eyes on me, you'll see the promise. You'll receive what you've asked for. If you'll keep your eyes on me. So the chariot of fire comes between Elijah and Elisha. This supernatural phenomenon, who wouldn't stop and take it all in? But Elisha kept his eyes on the man who was taken up in a whirlwind. There's a chariot of disease, a pandemic, sweeping in, trying to divide the church of the living God between its purpose and the earth. Are you going to focus on the pandemic? I'm not suggesting that we don't use wisdom, but are you going to focus on the chariot of disease? Are you going to keep your eyes on the promise? I'm done waiting. The outpouring comes. We call for it today. We have a scheduled revival that begins on the 15th of July. But right now, on the 28th of June, revival is in the room. Revival is in the air. The Spirit of God is upon us. Come on, everybody, stand up. Just everybody stand up. If you don't want to stand, why don't you get on your knees and let's just say, God, I must have your presence. I must have your presence. We cannot do this without your presence. Spirit of the living God, come now upon us. Oh, Jesus.
Let it tear through and rip apart all of this division in the earth right now. This demonic effort to cause hatred to rise in the hearts of men and women that have loved each other. And now there's this fighting and turmoil going on. It's ungodly. And we will not give ourselves to it. We will not be a part of that conversation. We will keep our eyes focused on the promise. I just want you to start opening up your mouth, open up your heart, and allow intercession to come in the room. God, we pray. And we pray some more. And we keep on praying. God, we knock. And we keep on knocking. God, we ask. And we keep on asking. Come on, let the sound of the people of God rise. With intercession, just begin to lift your voice and cry out for the promise. Cry out for the promise with one voice, one focus. Come on, let's just give it another minute. Let's give it another minute. Let the people of God fix their eyes on Jesus. Repent. Change the way you think so that you can see what's right within your grasp. It's at hand. So God, I've released what I believe with all my heart you gave me. Without intimidation, without apology, I declared today the word that you dropped in my heart. God, I'm a flawed man, but I'm doing my best to navigate through the climate of the age. But every knee must bow to the King on the throne. Every demonic strategy is thwarted by the Spirit of God. Lord, I know that Christianity will survive without America. But America can never survive without Christianity. The kingdom will stand with or without America, but America will never stand without the kingdom of God. God, if we lose our nation,
if we lose our nation, the kingdom of God will stand and be strong and ever increasing. The church of the living God will stand strong. The gates of hell will never prevail against the church of the living God. But God, we ask on behalf of our nation, on behalf of our nation, Lord, we've had some imperfection in the construction of this nation. We've had imperfect people. God, we are all so flawed, but only one was qualified to throw the stone, and you didn't. So God, we just come and we repent again for the sins of our fathers. And God, we ask for the great outpouring promised by the prophets thousands of years ago, in the last days. So we cry for our nation. We cry for the only possible solution, the great outpouring of the Spirit of God. God, let the great awakening, let the sleeping church rise up. May she discover her voice and begin to declare the promises of God. Begin to declare heal our nation. Lord, let us begin to transcend all that we see in the natural realm, but let us lift up our eyes and see from your perspective. The invitation is to come up higher. Come and see. Come be seated in heavenly places. We believe the promises spoken by the prophet Joel. Back to that six. The former and the latter rain would come and flood our thirsty soul. We've been praying for the rain to fall upon our nation, Lord. Come and overtake us all. We've been looking to the sky. We've seen a cloud just like a hand. Heard it with our spirit ears. Abundant rain will drench the land. So as a people of prayer, a people of presence, we're gonna nudge the heart. And we know you hold the waters in a heap, but we'll move your heart with our crazy praise and break the fountains of the deep. Okay, I'm done.
Thank you for joining us today at the Dwell Church Podcast. For more information about Dwell Church, visit us at dwell.church.